Yes, indeed. Time for another radio fishing. And I sound so excited. Josh has a mouthful of something.
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Mini Kit Kats. Did you steal that off the counter up there? Or did you actually buy it?
I bought them next door.
There was a bag, half bag sitting up on the counter.
No.
Don't worry, there's only minimal amount of critters that crawl across that.
No, let me tell you what. I learned a long time ago, you don't eat things or drink things you find in this store.
Well, this is Fish and Frank in the chair. Robert in the chair across from me. And we got Captain Josh Greer in the guest seat. And we're going to try and get down to an area fishing report here, if I can ever make all this other stuff go away. Okay, it went away. Now, let's see. This has been... We had a really nice day Sunday. It was beautiful out. Then it got really windy.
Did you go out on the water?
No, because it was too perfect Sunday morning. I was going to go out, and I said, we're not allowed this much perfect weather.
Yeah.
And I was... I went out in the back porch, and I'm sitting there and imbibing in some nicotine, and all of a sudden, whoosh, the wind came in, boy, and it really came in with a vengeance.
Yeah, it was pretty gusty.
Yeah, so, no, I was very happy. I just said, okay, coming to work, came in, started doing paperwork, and found out, you know, not to use the computer for my paperwork stuff, because all the work I did for 2 years is junk. Really? Oh, I'll do it all over by hand. Oh, God, I love this job. I love my job. I love my job. I love my job.
Choice of being the owner.
Well, you know, people don't get it that they, you know, everybody in retail always, you know, complains about the public. But I couldn't disagree more. Complaining about the public is ridiculous. Because the customers are the best part of the day.
Absolutely.
When they come in, it's fun. We get to talk fishing. We get to build rigs. I bet you in the last 3 days, I spent probably 6 hours working with people and buying rods. Had a woman in yesterday. It was one of those dream sales, you know, because there are two guys, one big dude and another guy, and they're looking for rods, looking through the rod rack and stuff. Remember the guy the other day? He says, I'm in Nirvana.
Yeah.
He's taking pictures in the rod room because he says, I've never seen so many rods in one place ever. He's
that
just
was awesome.
All freaking out. And we didn't even have them all up at that time. And but anyway, they're looking. I says, you know, can I help you? What are you looking for? Well, we're looking for something. And I said, what fish? He says, well, grouper, snapper, and all that. And I says, okay, you know, is this spinning or conventional? What do you want in a rod? He said, well, really, it's for her. And I said, okay, well, you guys got something you can do for a while? Her and I are going to be, her and I are going to spend about half an hour up here.
So this, I don't know if I'd leave my wife alone with Frank for half an hour.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, she learned all about rods. But,
well, it's like that woman last Friday that I took out back to teach her how to cast. Her husband went inside. He didn't even ask. He just... I'm staying in here. And
yep.
She was awesome.
Those are the cool guys. The guys that understand, let us do our job. Let us help. Mm-hmm. You know, and because I'm theoretically Fish and Frank, you know, I mean, the guru fishing guy, the man, the myth, the walk around living legend. I'm out in a boat with the wife, and I say, honey, why don't you try? I'm fine. I'm like, yeah, you're right. People come from all over to ask myself or you, Robert, you know, questions on fishing. We get calls from across the nation. And, I mean, I've even had calls from Europe. And, you know, Frank, what about this or that? But yet, I'm on the boat with her. And, obviously, you know, I can't be that bright. So, you know, you never try and teach your spouse anything. Let us do it. Right. We'll help, you know, in... What's really funny now, I think just to finish up this story, we did find her perfect rod, and it did take, oh, I bet you 40 minutes, but we went through, and we went through the whole pile and, you know, did the whole weights and everything, and really got her perfect rod for her. It was a lot of fun. It was just an amazing amount of fun when you show somebody the right way to hold a rod or, you know, a different technique, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're getting it, and I like watching the light bulb go off as we get into the rods, you know, and yeah. all of a sudden they're like,
when the light bulb goes off, that's when it's cool.
Yeah, because they don't really know what they're supposed to be doing. And then by the third or fourth rod into it, all of a sudden the expression on their face changes. And I don't watch the rods anymore because they're all good rods. It's just right. what we're trying to do is find the one that's good for her or him or whoever it is. And all of a sudden you see their face and you get this little frown on it when they hold a rod, or they get this little like twinkle in their eye. And I can almost tell which one they'll end up with by they'll grab one and you can just see the expression.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it was.
And more often than not, it's funny because you'll hand them an array of rods from a different price range and it's.
Oh, she was right in the middle.
Yeah, it's either right in the middle or on the lower end of where they thought
actually,
they were going to be.
The rod she chose was about $70 and I had rods in there literally from $29 to $200.
Yeah,
and she went, yeah, well, you're right, low metal.
Yeah.
And it just turned out it was the perfect rod for her, because I hate it when they try and look at prices or actions or any of that stuff. This there's nothing to do with what we're doing, because when it boiled down at the end, it was a $130 rod and a $69.95 rod. And she, the $69.95 rod was the rod she liked more. And and you know, you look at the end, you turn the two price tags and say, okay, now is this rod is $130, this one is $70, so is this one worth $60 more than this one? And then you explain the differences and stuff, and then, no, I want that one. And
right. it
works out perfect.
Absolutely.
Anyway, we were supposed to be doing a fishing report.
Yeah.
But I don't get, you know, when the customers go away, that's when all the lousy work starts.
Well, and it's funny because, like, you know, we'll concentrate on that 1.001% that made it crappy, and it's funny because I mean,
but we've talked about that.
Absolutely,
they did. I'm big on Science Channel Discovery and all these other weird shows. You know, if it has anything to do with the human psyche or evolution or theology, or I don't care what it is, I want to know. I love history and why we are who we are. And it makes sense. Our brain focuses to the front, the bad stuff. If you have something really bad to you, if somebody really annoys you, Josh, or you almost get in an accident,
right.
it really sticks in the front of your brain.
Right. The good stuff never sticks.
The good stuff doesn't. But if you think back a couple hundred thousand years ago, humans are evolving and everything, and what do you need to survive? A memory of something bad.
Mm-hmm.
This made you sick. This almost killed you. This bit you. This stung you. You know
you have
I mean?
To remember that so you don't do it again.
Exactly.
Right.
So it really does make a lot of sense why anything bad would just go forefront to the memory and, you know, forefront in your day. Because if you're an evolving species, and humans evolve all the time. I mean, just look at you. There wasn't a creature your size on the planet, you know, 200 years ago. You would have been, you know, and even me, I'm very, very average size, average height, average weight, average whatever. But I would have been a giant back in the 1800s.
Right.
You know, and but as we were evolving as a species, that's what kept us going, kept us alive.
Absolutely.
That and eating meat. You know,
right?
Eating meat? Oh no!
Oh yeah, there was in along the lines. There was a line of humans that was vegetarian plant eaters, and their brains don't develop. They didn't develop. It's easier to turn an animal into a human than it is a plant into a human.
Right.
And without the animal proteins, the brain didn't grow on that subspecies of human, and they all died off. So we are definitely meat eaters, predators, eyes in the front of our heads. We're meat eaters. So, anyway, all that stuff out of the way. You're here to help us do a fishing report. Did anybody notice this is a fishing show?
It is. Somewhere.
Somewhere. What the hell is wrong with me? I got it. Okay.
Put the squirrel back in the cage.
All right. That was felt good. All right. I'm ready. Okay. Adrian. Adrian, the money. All right. All right. And we're going at it. Up to Peace River.
Honestly, up there around, like, up in Hunter Creek, they're actually catching a lot of bluegill and some bass.
Really?
Yeah.
In Hunter Creek?
Yeah. Been hearing some good reports about that up there the last week, I guess. And then as far as the main river itself, it's a lot of gar, a few oddball trout and some small redfish. Not until you get closer to 75 is it just a little bit better on the whiting and the trout.
I think the thing might still be broke. The flow meter, it's not showing anything.
Yeah, with all the rain they had last week, you would think it'd be showing something.
Yeah, no, it's definitely broke. I was looking to see how much, but it's, yeah.
It's wet up north of there.
somebody shot it.
A lot of rain. Somebody hit it with a boat, I'm sure. You know, let's run right next to the marker. I'll be safe that way.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, yeah, the water level thing up in Arcadia is broke. So, that must mean they've got to have 5-6 feet of water up there in Arcadia. Because yeah. Hunter Creek is almost at Harbor Heights. So
it's above that, isn't it?
Just right above it. That's when you go north from my house, when you make the left. If you go to the left, that's the Peace River. If you go to the right, that's Hunter Creek.
Okay, then I'm mistaken. I'm sorry. What's the one that's just on the other side of 761? 761.
Horse Creek.
Okay. Right. Now that makes more sense. Right.
That makes more sense. When he's Hunter Creek,
I'm thinking Hunter Creek. Sorry. God, they'd have to have 12 feet of water in Arcadia from Hunter Creek.
I apologize for that.
All right. So
Horse Creek.
Anyway, now that you have your geography, mapping lessons.
One of those.
Yes. As you get up there, and when you leave, you're at 41 Bridge, and you go north. You go up past I-75, and then you go past Harbor Heights. You stay to the right, and on the island, that's the main body of the Peace River, going up to the right. If you stay to the left, then on the right hand side is Hunter Creek, which goes around, ends up by Liverpool. Okay. And the main body of the river goes up, you go past the Navigator, past 761, and then you get up around the water treatment plants there, which is actually a desalinization plant now.
Really?
It gets so... Only when we have enough rain where Horse Creek is running, when you say they're catching bluegills and stuff in Horse Creek, so it's actually water in it, is there enough fresh water for them just to pull water? They had to go to reverse osmosis desalinization to draw enough river water out of the Peace River.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, that was several years ago. So
Horse Creek's got some really good fishing in it.
I love Horse Creek. It's beautiful. It's hard to get up.
Yeah, I know. I know a gentleman that puts his boat in on 760, is it? Yeah, it'd be 760, the next road up there.
Right.
Where Horse Creek goes underneath there. He puts his little canoe in.
Right, because there's no ramp or anything.
No, there's no ramp.
You got to slide in there.
Yeah, he puts his canoe in there and then comes down to the river.
Right.
Catches some huge bass, big bluegill, snook.
Yeah. I got to ride out there. I'm going to have to ride out there and check out that bridge because I haven't been out there in years. I've been to 760, but even that was, 10 years ago or something.
Got to get back up there.
Yeah, well, I've been fishing Mondays with Dad, except he's going to the doctor today, so we'll try and get out tomorrow or the day after.
There you go. Well, as you get closer to the 75 bridge, there's been some good whiting.
Good man, picked right up on the fishing report.
Bit. Yeah, some trout have been scattered throughout there in the main channel and up around the bunks there.
Yeah, they're snook there, but they're laying right on the bottom. I mean, gulp swim bait, storm swim bait, and they gotta hit the bottom. Hit the bottom, bring it up about 2 feet, hit the bottom, and you gotta work them slow. It's real slow bottom bouncing, but there's big snook there. I mean, fish are there. It's just. It's double tough. It takes a lot of time, a lot of technique to catch those fish.
Right.
Chance of doing it on your first outing, you might luck into one or two, but if you practice it, if you went there several times, you'd get it. But it's not an easy. It's not like you're going to go there and just catch
snook. No.
Unless you're lucky. And it's better to be lucky than good right now.
Any day.
That's, way better.
I'd rather be lucky than good any day.
Especially right now.
Around 41, there's a lot of whiting moved in. Over by the hotel docks and stuff, tons of whiting over there. Some ladyfish, a couple of Spanish here and there.
Few trout,
all up around 41 right now.
I got a question.
Yeah.
This may sound stupid coming from a fishing guide, but how do you fish for whiting?
Number four hook.
Okay.
Now, if you're going to put the rod in the rod holder, switch over to circle hook, which I hate, but if you're in the rod holder, you have to have the circle, otherwise you're going to gut hook a lot of them. I use a number four gold mustad hook, like I use for sheephead, that little just standard J hook. And when I take the shrimp, I tear them in two pieces. I want them in halves or a bag of frozen, peeled, and I put a number four hook about 12 to 18 inches of 20 pound leader, and then a swivel, and then on my line I'm sliding a half ounce sinker.
Okay.
And that sliding sinker hits on the bottom. If you have a fixed sinker, it's really hard to feel the bite, because if the line can slide through the sinker, you're going to feel those little taps.
Yeah, you can feel the bite a lot better,
right? And just set the hook on them. Now, so many people use them for bait nowadays because they're excellent bait on cobia, tarpon, all these big fish love them, even snook eats them, that people have forgotten what a wonderful fillet that is. And those little 8, 10 inch whiting, they've got good meat for their size.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was up north, we all went after yellow perch.
Right.
You know, we'd perch fish all the time. And these are about the size, if you're from up north, of a perch. They're good, tasty little fish. They're easy to fillet.
They're bigger than a perch, I would say.
Yeah. They're,
on average.
I would say. But, you know, trying to put it into perspective.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you can get them up.
I know they're good eating. I've ate them before, but I've never really targeted them. You know, I've never
pieces
tried to fish for them.
They have
very similar to fishing for sheephead then.
Yeah, the pieces of shrimp, because they don't have the teeth or anything.
Right.
And they have a harder time with the live shrimp. They'll hit a live shrimp, but you miss so many fish. If you've got a piece, you know, if I'm out and I've got a bucket full of live shrimp, I'll tear them in half.
Right.
And use the pieces. And but yeah, that's simple
as
it is.
They hang on holes or structure?
Yeah,
or
if you're going up on I-75 around there, just look for any of the deeper holes, anchor off the hole and cast into it.
I see a lot of people up there in the channel, you know, right before 75, right, where all those deeper holes are. I see a lot of people up there, and I'm assuming that's what they're fishing for.
So. What I like to do is when I'm fishing for whiting, I use the pieces of shrimp, the rig and everything, and I'll catch some whiting, and I'll take one fillet off. I leave the skin on so it can be identified, but it's no size or bag limits, so you don't have to keep them in whole condition.
Right.
You can cut them up for bait, or you can do anything you want to with them in addition to, but I'll take one of them that I've filleted and put them on a hook and throw them out. And that fresh carcass out there, and I've caught a lot of sharks, tarpon, cobia, all that, just while I was whiting fishing, because whenever I go for whiting, I always take one big rod, because if there's school whiting there,
something else is eating them.
Very good chance that a larger predator's there. And that big carcass, and I mean, I get the meat, the fish, the carcass works great for bait, perfect.
Yeah.
You know, waste not, want not.
I know they taste really good. I think that's one of those fish that is
way
looked
overrated.
Over. Yeah, they're looked over a lot of times.
Well, I think one of the
I've never fished for them.
They have a stigma to them because of the amount of, you know, you have a 12-foot aluminum boat with 6 80-year-old guys in it, and they got 4-aught pen reels like shark rods fishing for whiting.
Right.
They have a little bit of a stigma about them as not a cool fish because they're easy to catch. If you can find them, you know, they're not hard to catch, and they're good eating, and a lot of those guys...
Well, I know certain parts of the country and certain parts of the state, whiting is a big deal off the beach. They fish off the beach a lot. You know, I mean,
the same thing out here.
Yeah. Right.
But it's a big deal fish. It's just around here because of the stigma of the people who would fish for them and their attitudes towards the fishing. You know, it's... They don't care what they're catching as long as they catch a lot of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And just a whole different stigma about them. And it's slowly going away because most of those guys have passed away over the years.
Yeah, I think Spanish mackerel is the same way.
Oh,
they
don't know.
They kind of get a stink eye. I like Spanish mackerel.
I love Spanish mackerel. I got no trouble at all catching Spanish. And then if I'm going home that night, I want to eat them. I mean, to me, that's one of the best meals I've had in Charlotte Harbor.
Fresh.
That day.
That day, yeah.
If you catch them, you put them in the ice chest, leave them on ice, take them home, fillet them, wash them, clean them, butter one side, put a little lemon herb on it, down on the grill, butter the other side, a little lemon herb, flip it over, one of the best meals I've had. Now, the next day, not so much, and if you freeze it, it's cat food.
Yeah.
You know, so only keep like 1.5 per person.
Yeah.
But you're definitely going to want at least 1.5 per person. You're going to eat more than you think.
Yeah.
Two fish is a lot of people, when they do their first time with the Spanish, I recommend two fish. And her and I, we know we're going to eat about 1.5 a piece, which is actually quite a bit of fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, Port Charlotte canals.
The mouths of the canals are still doing okay, but every canal's been hit or miss. You catch them today in this in the Elk Cam, and then the next day it's the Sunrise Waterway, and then the next day it's Manchester. Got to move around a lot. Mangrove snapper, been some trout right there at the entrances. A few oddball snook, redfish. Started hearing of a few more sandbream farther up inside the canals, but not in super consistent numbers. But they've been some decent sized fish. I've been hearing of some like 12 and 13 inch sandbream.
And another of the most underrated, underknown fish in Florida.
Right.
I mean, Mahara. And that's best fish with a crappie jig.
Right.
You take your little, anything you like using for crappie, then take a shrimp tail, frozen is fine, it doesn't matter, and then a sharp knife and slice it into little tiny pieces and just tip the point of the hook and fish them exactly as you would crappie. Jig under a bobber, jigging them. If you can crappie fish, you can catch sandbream. And they're basically like a saltwater crappie.
Well, and this time of year, they school up big time like those little crappie do. So when you get into one, you usually get into quite a few.
And easiest way to identify if you get them is they're striped laterally, but when you bring them up, the mouth will extend easily half inch to an inch. I mean, they have this very elongated jaw when they go to capture their prey. And the other fish that has that is the lionfish. It has that very long, elongated mouth on it. If you ever watch the videos of lionfish eating, that's how sandbream does.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, they're very cool fish. But going up around to the Mayaca River, and I'm going to be putting a survey up and see if they want us to block off our fishing report in the shorter sections by the smaller areas.
Okay.
I'm going to post that up there and see if I can get some response on that. Because some of the shows go an hour or so, and that's a lot to listen to. I mean,
right.
You know, if we can keep them down about half-hour blocks, it might be a little better.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Mayaca River, Mayaca Cutoff.
The mouth of the Mayaca Cutoff on the Peace River side has had some trout. Most of them have been on the small side. Going up inside the cutoff has been real wishy-washy.
That would be off Frank's Flats, named for my father.
Correct.
Yes.
Going up inside there, there's still some snook, a few redfish, but you're really working hard at the handful that you might catch up inside there. Once you get up to the north side or the Tippy Canoe side, there's some really big ladyfish, a few bigger snook. And some scattered trout out there all around on those flats.
Now, out in front of Hog Island, you got a few redfish up close to the island when the water's up. Mm-hmm. But if you come back out on that big sand flat, I've heard of pompano going across those flats.
Yeah, I haven't had a good report on pompano for a couple days, but the beginning of last week, I had a few good reports on them. And then, you know, been some bonnet heads and some Atlantic sharpnose up on there, too.
Cool.
I'm guessing that there's probably even been some juvenile bull sharks being misidentified, because this is usually a time of year when those little guys move around up there too pretty regularly.
Yeah, the ones that were born last spring, they're getting
You're actually technically right both ways.
Yeah, no, they're born and hatched. Yeah. Weird critters.
They're laid in an egg inside, and then they hatch out of the egg inside, and then are live birth.
Actually, not that much different than a human when you come to think of it.
Kind of, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Apex predators.
As you move up a little bit closer to the up to the El Jobin right there around the bridges, there's been a few trout, not a lot of good numbers, but a few better quality fish. It seems like the early morning bite right at first light, and then just after sunset when those lights kick on the road there, they've been catching a few nice trout.
Cool.
Mangrove snapper, sheep's head have been fair but not phenomenal. And then going up further up into the Peace River, up towards 41 basically, I've been hearing some mixed reports of some small tarpon and a few snook up there closer as you get to the main bridge. And then as you work your way down towards the cattle dock,
right,
going over into Gulf Cove. Or South Gulf Cove, I should say. Try to get all my names right today.
Ain't gonna happen.
No. South Gulf Cove's had some nice bass fishing in it. A few snook, a few oddball redfish, and some tarpon. Most of the guys are doing best on like the snook and the tarpon, actually just slow trolling along through there, especially along that main long stretch there. It follows the technically the inside of the west wall. And then the bass have been more up inside the main canals with some scattered other guys. And then as you come out and start working your way down the west wall there, the creeks have been doing fair, but not incredible. Most of it's been right along the perimeter, along the shoreline, as far as the redfish and the snook go. But out on top of the bar itself, in that 3 feet of water, there's been quite a few trout, a few pompano, bonnet heads, oddball Spanish mackerel, and bluefish. Especially, it seems to get a little bit better as you're working your way south still. Don't be surprised if you come across an oddball cobia or an oddball bigger shark, because I've been hearing a couple of reports of those too along there. Just nothing consistent that's really targetable. Just be prepared for them, basically.
Okay. What's going on the west? By Cape Hayes and along the west wall there?
Well, that was the southern end of the west wall with those guys. As you get closer to Cape Hayes, much better concentration of bonnet heads and Atlantic sharpnose. With a few pompano, a lot of little tiny trout all over it, and the pinfish are just, they'll just beat you to death out there. Between the pinfish and the puffers, they're having a real good time on everyone's shrimp and plastics. there has been a little bit of white bait there on top of the bar, which has been drawing in some of the pelicans and kind of getting some other stuff stirred up, where you're getting the occasional Spanish or bluefish mixed in with it. Other than that, it's been kind of wishy-washy. Going up into Turtle Bay, that's been a little bit more productive this last week. I think it's just because it was so cold and windy, too. Got a little UFO going on here.
Yeah.
Or is that one of those little submarines? A little Jacques Cousteau action.
Here we go.
Pulling ourselves under the water.
No, that's definitely a spaceship.
UFO. That was definitely a spaceship, yes.
Okay.
I'll see if I can find submarine.
Okay. Out there on the flats there in Turtle Bay, there's a lot of trout scattered all over the place. Mainly drifting is going to be your better bet. If you blind cast to the sand holes with big shrimp on a jig head and just start working them real slow, a couple guys have been picking up a few bigger redfish. A few bonnet heads also. Up along the main shoreline, along the bushes, and going into turtle and a bull. Been a lot of little redfish. Well, not a lot, I shouldn't say that, but good numbers of redfish. Most of them are pretty small. Yeah.
So.
Dive. Nice. Dive.
Set your depth at 500.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, okay. So anyway.
Right there in Gallagher's Cut, though, and underneath the fish shacks, there's been some good mangrove snapper and sheep's head.
I'm looking for fish.
Nice.
Okay, anyway.
If the whales start calling back, I'm running.
That might be a mating call.
Might be.
What the heck was the name of that stupid movie with Kelsey Grammer in it? That was funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where they're trying to be silent, laying on the bottom, and go...
Yeah. Yeah, I forget what that was.
So, anyway, that's funny. Anyway, where are we at?
Gallagher's Cut and the fish shacks. There have been sheep's head, mangrove snapper. That's about it there. But if you go out there between the entrance of Turtle Bay, going all the way over towards Devilfish, drifting along that area, that's been some better pompano, a few oddball flounder, oddball bigger redfish, and then from Devilfish, moving your way up to sandfly. That area has been pretty good because of the white bait. There's been a lot of white bait, pinfish, kind of a whole plethora of the food chain there. You know, Spanish Macs have moved up on there, a lot of little sharks. The trout are scattered all over there, but most of the trout are very, very, very small.
Well, I was warning people, this is a dangerous place. There's lots of fish there.
Yeah. It's definitely one of the more consistent areas for bending the rod. They're not all quality fish, but you're going to definitely bend the rod. And drifting or the trolling motor is definitely going to be your better bet. You know, sitting down at anchoring is not the key thing to do right now.
What did the storm sound effects? Because we're supposed to get some... Are we still getting rough weather today?
Supposedly rain.
When I got here this morning, it was really gray, black looking up north of here. But I looked at the radar and there wasn't nothing on the radar. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Most of those down south.
They were supposed to be today was supposed to get, you know, stormy and nasty, and I, all of a sudden now it changed. So
yeah, it's one of those things that changes by the hour, it seems like.
It's the weather, man.
So, Josh, you been up to Placido lately?
I have.
You have?
I have not fished inside of Placido, though. I've been putting in at Placido and going offshore. So.
Well, then we'll get to that in just a minute. What you looking at, Robert?
Radar.
Radar. Bing. I see. I don't have sound effects up anymore. I could have done radar sound effects.
There's nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing. Nothing at all. Yeah. There was a bunch of stuff way south down in the Keys this morning that was supposed to come up this way, but it's all broken apart to virtually nothing.
Yeah. So it's gonna be one of those weeks.
Yeah.
It looks like we got some weather coming at the end of the week. Looks like it's supposed to get cold again or something.
Yeah, we're not until Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
Today, but showers are likely. 60% chance. I don't get it.
That's going to be my next job.
Yeah.
I'll be a weatherman. You don't have to know anything to be a weatherman, really.
You know, what's actually amazing is we tell people when they come in and say, where should I go and what can I catch there and all that, and we're right way more often than the weather people.
Yeah, that's not hard to do either.
But that's what I'm saying. And they get paid a lot more money than I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, if I had their paycheck, they should do, okay, this is what the government says is going to happen. This is what we're supposed to say. Now, here's our bet.
Right, exactly. You
know? Here's my guess. I mean, instead of being a talking head, that would be, to me, that would be the smart thing for them to do.
Absolutely.
But anyway, where are we at?
Placido.
Okay.
Placido's been doing decent. The sheep's head picked up a little bit better this week, a little bit more consistency to them. Some Spanish mackerel and bluefish, some bonnet heads. Still hearing of some incidental black sea bass over there and semi-normal numbers. It's just kind of weird.
Tomorrow's going to be a pretty nice day. Wind's around 10 miles an hour. So I think tomorrow's actually going to be pretty nice.
And yeah, I would
if
definitely.
If you can get out around Placido, there are, when you leave the boat ramp, if you go just off to the right or actually to the left and just drift across that flat, you're going to find some nice trout there and several other species of fish. Just drifting, casting a spoon or a shrimp, and a DOA deadly combo.
The whole area from the Placido boat ramp to the little pass there, that whole area is some of the most overlooked area ever.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody past
gets
it.
On plane and goes right by it all.
Oh, yeah. When you go out, when you put in at Placido and you're in that little canal thing, and as soon as you get to the mouth of the canal, go left or right there, shut the boat off and start fishing.
Except everybody drift 50 mile an hour through there through the pass.
But you need to keep your motor in its lowest down position because you want that to hit first, because you will come up on the shallows. Whichever way you drift, you're going to hit shallow water.
Right.
So keep your motor down and you won't have any problem. You can just cast and catch fish, and there's some beautiful grass flats off to the right there.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, going up the intercoastal, if you're going to take the long way up the intercoastal, you get a few Spanish mackerel in the intercoastal along with some whiting. Not a lot of, a whole bunch of anything, some trout going through a little bit.
Yeah, a few trout here and there. Just been a little on the quiet side for the trout. The few trout I am hearing about are the guys that are just slow drifting or slow trolling, actually, right along the edge of the channel of the intercoastal.
And yeah, you'd have to troll.
Yeah. And then right there also off the ends of the docks there,
yeah.
You know, anyone's house.
Don't listen to Robert. Don't drift in the intercoastal. Troll
right along the edge.
Stay under power.
Right along the edge there.
Stay under power so that you can move over when, you know, crazies come by.
Yeah. Especially if they're on autopilot.
Yeah, getting up into Lemon Bay. hearing stories of you've drifted in the flats for trout.
Drifting the flats for some trout, some pompano. Been an occasional gag grouper that I'm hearing about up there. A few oddball flounder. Seems like better numbers as you get closer to the pass itself. Stump pass has got a lot of whiting in it. Some decent flounder, some jacks.
Now, if I'm going to walk the beach, if I was going to choose a flounder island right now, it would be Gasparilla Island. And Stump Pass and that area up there off Manasota Key, mm-hmm. would be my number two choice for flounder. Going down off Captiva, Sanibel down there, that Sanibel would be my probably the last one I would choose for flounder, but there are flounder there. right. that you can catch. You got scattered whiting all the way up and down the coast if you're standing on the beach casting out, and there was some small sharks, but I got a hunch that thinned way out. Now, we don't have any way to prove that yet, because but with the colder temperatures we had, drop that water temp a couple of degrees, those fish, I'm sure, have pushed south a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, and the other thing, like you're saying with Captiva Pass, you know, if I were in a boat, I'd
Captiva
be fishing.
Captiva Pass is where it would be.
Yeah, I would be fishing all around that area, especially on the south end of Cayo Costa there, around all those knocked down trees, yeah. working that real slow and thorough for those flounder.
And there's a line of rocks right off the beach right there when you come right. out.
But now I would call stump Captiva Pass my number one pass to fish if I had a boat. I would pay the toll and get on Gasparilla Island, go to Fifth Street, 17th Street, even down by the state park if I was going to fish off the beach for flounder.
Right,
those would be my number one land spot, my number one pass for fish right now, flounder and stuff like that.
Absolutely,
Josh, you've been out in the Gulf. What's going on in the Gulf?
I've been out. Well. When the wind's not blowing, that's what's funny about our weather. It's either perfectly nice or windy as all get out.
Perfectly deadly.
Yeah, exactly. But because we had those nice days, I've been running out in the Gulf a little bit and fishing the near shore reefs, wrecks and stuff. And this year's been weird out there. There's a lot of fish. I mean, the snapper and, you know, small grouper are there, but a lot of snapper and some flounder, grunts. But the black sea bass have been everywhere.
Yeah.
We've been talking about that. What's
so
up?
Weird. It started last year. Last year was the first year that I actually caught them consistently. And last year I was catching them in canals over in Boca Grande on docks fishing for sheephead. We were catching black sea bass. And I was like, that's weird. Well, this year they're everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, we spent 10 years, you know, back in the 80s. We had a good population of black sea bass, quite a common catch, and never big ones. And I don't even think today there's much of any size to them. But
they're legal. I mean, they're 11, 12 inches.
Right. But, you know, and then all of a sudden, halfway through the 90s, and then all the way up until just recently. I never
caught one until last year.
I haven't heard of any good numbers since before Hurricane Charlie.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a... And it was several years before. That was probably like the first year I was working. I mean, I'm happy. 98, 99.
I'm happy to see them.
Yep. It's amazing that all of a sudden, boom, they're back.
I'm happy to see them. Those are good eating little fish.
Yeah, they're tasty little buggers. You know.
And they're cool looking.
Yeah.
Cool looking, tasty fish. You heard anything? Mary's, Trembly, Power Poles, anything for sea bass?
I have not. I haven't been out there. I haven't. I've been fishing little smaller, low profile places, just hard bottom and stuff. And I mean, places that I used to go, you could drift across there and catch grunts and, you know, some snapper and this and that. It's all black sea bass now. So, I don't know why they're here, but I'm glad they're here.
Yeah. Anybody catch any lionfish? I hear we've got those moving in.
I heard a couple weeks ago somebody caught one, but it's hard to believe everybody. But there's no reason they wouldn't be here.
Well, they're here, but the problem is that you'll very rarely, you'll very seldom hear of them getting caught on hook and line because they're a super slow-moving predator. They're not a super aggressive animal, so the grunts, the pinfish, and the snapper always beat them to the punch. Right. So unless your bait happens to bounce just right in front of him at that particular second, then they'll grab it. So that's what I think why you very rarely hear anyone hooking them on hook and line.
Spearfished.
Right.
You know, you hear the guys that catch them down in the Bahamas or even the Keys, for that matter. Usually, they'll catch those when they're deep dropping on some of the ledges and wrecks.
Yeah.
And the reason why they catch them there is because there's less smaller predators to beat them to the punch.
Yeah, there's nothing else there. They've wiped everything else out. Yeah.
So I think that's kind of why
they're
you don't hear
fish.
About them.
Yeah.
Spooky, as in like get scared easily, or just spooky like hey, these are.
Like
terrifying to have here.
Yeah, both.
Yeah.
Being in the water with one, it was kind of different.
Why? What's up?
They just growing up down in Homestead and, you know, diving in the Keys and lobstering in my entire life, and then all of a sudden you jump in and go, "What is that? And why is it here? Where'd it come from?" You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a little kind of weird.
Yeah, it was definitely weird.
Kind of nerve nerve-wracking.
Because they're not afraid of anything either.
No, that's what I dove down to look at it, and I got from me to Robert from it, and went, oh, wait, he's not scared of me. Let me get the heck out of here.
No, they're not really. They don't have to. They don't have any real predators to speak of, especially here. You know, and they rely on their camouflage and their intimidation factor of flaring out their fins to make them look much larger than they really are.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of those things. But I've heard of Bonita out there. When you get out 35, 40 miles, I talked to one guy, and they went out thinking the white was going to be beautiful and ended up, they had a tough time getting back, but they got back fine. But Bonita and Tuna, 35 miles out.
Yeah, and the red grouper bite's been really good.
The red grouper bite's been good out
that deeper. That 25 to 35 mile mark seems to be the most consistent. The last few days, even with as sporadic as the wind has been, it's been a little on the funky side, and it's mostly because of that full moon. I mean, the skies have been just clear for the last 5-6 nights.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we're hearing some few more inconsistent reports this week, because prior to last week, I mean, red grouper, mangrove snapper,
guys go out
lane
limit
snapper.
Out in an hour.
Yeah, I mean, the bite has been totally sick, and I think the only thing that's really changed besides the temperature and dropping down just a little bit primarily is the fact of the full moon.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, it looks like we're getting busy out there. And I'm going to hit the... Hang just a second. Anyway, getting back up to, like, Sanibel, Ponderosa. Oh, we can wait for Josh to get back for that.
Yeah, he's real good at that. Let's go into Boca Grand Pass.
Yeah, go ahead, Boca Grand Pass.
Boca Grand Pass, there's, you know, the phosphate dock has got some sheep's head on it, a few mangrove snapper, lots of little jacks. And then up inside the canals there at Boca, there's been some really nice sheep's head and a few black drum, oddball redfish and trout kind of throughout the whole thing. Trolling through there has been pretty productive for a mixed gamut of stuff. And then on the southern end there of the Boca Grand Pass, right around Cayo Costa, drifting that edge there has produced some nice flounder, a few pompano, a lot of whiting out there on that whole, basically, Johnson Shoals area and the whole front side of Cayo Costa.
Talking to Jimmy Willis, and hooked a 7-foot lemon that jumped clear out of the water like a tarpon.
Really? How shallow a water was he in?
He was just off Johnson Shoals, so four to six foot.
Right, because I've heard of lemons breaking the water with their shoulders, you know, in really shallow water in the Keys, but
I've never heard of one coming up out of the water. And this is Jimmy. Jimmy knows his sharks.
Yeah,
I mean, this isn't a guess. If Jimmy says it's a lemon, it's a lemon. And I, what a spectacular thing to have seen!
How cool would that be?
I mean, I freak out when I see a 3-4 foot, you know, black tip or whatever just launch itself out of the water. But a 7-foot lemon?
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
What I was kept asking him was, did you see anything else? The only thing going to push that lemon up out of the water is a giant shark.
Yeah, a bull shark or something, or a hammer come up on it.
Well, if it's a 7-foot lemon, it's going to be bigger than a, it's going to be a 10-foot bull shark or a 14-foot hammerhead or something.
Right.
The only things I can see...
He hooked the shark, or it was just a free jump?
No, he
shark?
Hooked it.
Oh, okay.
And they were fighting it, and it came up out of the water. But
that would have been cool.
The only thing I can think of to make a 7-foot lemon come up out of the water is a monster hammerhead.
Right.
There's nothing else. Nothing else can touch it. It's as big as anything else out there.
Absolutely.
So, but, you know, I kept saying, did you see anything else? See a shadow in the water? Anything? None. He didn't.
That's weird.
That would have been cool to see.
Yeah. So... Anyway, going down to Ponderosa, Sanibel, what's going on down there, Josh?
Fishing's been okay down there.
Yeah.
A lot of trout in the grass flats, some smaller reds in the up in the bushes, jacks in the mouth of the creeks and in the mouth of the Coosahatchee there. Some sheep's head in those creeks and in the docks.
But I've been hearing of some good bonnet heads and some Spanish mackerel in those deeper flats and deeper sand holes down there.
Josh, this is your chance for people who want to go fishing with you. You got to make it sound exciting. You know, I want to hire Josh. Oh, he was having a great time down there, you know.
I don't want to lie to anybody either.
Yeah, but I mean, a little more optimism there, buddy. Okay, anyway, but you've been doing a lot of trips down there.
Yeah, here recently I have, a lot of my customers are down there right now. But the fishing has been good down there. It's to me, it's been more consistent than up here, which I'm happy to see. I like catching fish. I mean, we've been keeping a rod bin all day, and there's nothing huge, nothing, you know, crazy, but it's been good fishing.
Nothing to write home to Mother Russia about.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
But plenty of good fishing, you know, keep the rod bin all day.
Coming up around Mont Lachey, I've heard of a lot of small redfish up there. Some trout up through the main channel. Still some sheephead around the bridges and stuff. Anything else up and down there?
No, I heard the same thing. I haven't really been over in Mont Lachey, but I've talked to a buddy of mine yesterday that has been fishing over there, and a lot of little redfish. No big redfish, but a lot of little redfish.
Well, good sign for next year.
Yeah.
And coming
I've heard
back
of a few baby tarpon, too, at the Cape Coral Canals right there at all the entrances. Not too far up inside, but around the general entrances of them.
Some of those Cape Coral Canals are nice and deep. I don't know if they're maintaining them or if they just were extra deep starting, but that I was surprised we haven't heard more about tarpon over the last few years in there.
Yeah. And you know what? That also might be just one of those secrets.
I was going to say,
you know, because
those tarpon are always in there, just no one talks about
them. I mean, look at the phenomenal tarpon fishery they got at the Sanibel Causeway and the Cape Coral Causeway. You know, but nobody ever really talks about it and acknowledges how phenomenal it is. So the Cape Coral Canals might be just one of those little hidden gems that they've learned to keep quiet about.
They are.
Yeah.
I know for a fact they are.
So, anyway, coming up around.
So you're the one that's keeping it secret?
I don't know what you're talking
about. Oh, okay.
Where's Cape Coral?
Yeah, yeah. Tell you,
is that North Englewood?
When I first got down here, it was like late 79. And going down 41, which was a two-lane road then, and you know, you turn off, and all of a sudden you come through the trees, and it looked like some
atomic bomb
or something, because all of a sudden you're in the middle of this huge desert. Yeah. There's nothing there, and there's sand blowing across, and I mean, it was just literally. I mean, now there's houses and grass and stuff, but then it was literally just a blacktop going through a dirt desert. I mean, it was spooky.
I remember that mid-80s.
Yeah, really spooky to see Cape Coral when they first did it, because that's one of the reasons it should be illegal to do that.
There's still no trees there.
No, there's still, I mean, the wind comes across and goes down on that flat over the top of the trees, and they get, it'll blow 10 miles an hour stronger in Cape Coral than it will, you know, in the surrounding area. I mean, that's a weird little niche.
I think that was part
of
their demise, to not have that thing build up as well as it could have by them just going in and clearing everything out. You know, if they would have left a lot of the oaks and some of the palms and stuff that were natural there.
Well, if they would have just put the roads in and then started selling lots, they would have done fine. But to clear it.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, the grass was going, it was literally a sand desert.
Yeah.
You know, so that
very
was
strange.
It was literally freaky in the back. When you cleared the trees, because there was a lot of trees in the surrounding, it was like a rim of trees, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're in the middle, you're like, what is this? What happened here? You literally thought
a bomb went off or something.
Yeah, I mean, it looked so unnatural, because it wasn't like pasture or clearing. It was, something's wrong with this place.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, your brain was telling you subconsciously. There was
absolutely
something wrong. So, anyway, but coming up Two Pines, we got some snook there, and they're hard to get to hit. They're laying down in deeper holes, back up around the trees. We got redfish back up under the mangroves. Out in that open flat, there is a little bit of fish out through that open flat, but it's a small flat, and they're either there or they're not there. But you get just outside of the bar, going down towards Burnt Store, you got some of the best pompano fishing in the area right through there.
Yeah. Yeah, all along there's been some good pompano, a lot of little trout, even been a few sheep's head up there on top of the bar.
Now,
but if you run back across over towards
Jug Creek,
they'll kill you.
Now you can go on your rant. Robert's ranting
go for
about
blood.
Robert is just ranting about Jug Creek. It is the place. This is where you want to be. The way Robert talks about it, it should be a parking lot by now. You know?
Well, it's been the most consistent thing going. I mean, everywhere has been tough. I mean, we're trying to make this report as positive as possible and giving you the greats.
Overall, I got yelled at for that.
We're trying to, yeah, but we also.
I thought you yelled at for not being positive. Not being positive. There's a difference. We want positive. We want them to go fishing.
Well, we want positive, but we also want to be honest. You know, and you can only glamorize it so much.
No, you do. I'm willing to out lie to stay in business here. I'm willing to lie, cheat, steal, beg, borrow. You know, I want to stay in business. I don't want a real job. Actually, it's God, I long for a 40-hour week.
I was going to say, it's more paperwork for you. What are you talking about? Say, are you kidding me? Yeah, did we have like a 15-minute pre-discussion on this?
Yes. Well, yeah.
Well, Bokelia, Jug Creek Shoals, all that area right now, I mean, it's not phenomenal, but it's definitely the most consistent thing going. White baits scattered all along there. There's even been some small schools of even some decent, like, tarpon-sized threadies mixed in out there.
And you would do a great job.
What's that?
Fireman in Seattle.
A fireman in Seattle. Yeah, no kidding, huh?
You think about it for a minute. 24 on, 24 off, and it rains all the time. Nothing can catch fire.
Yeah, but that's not a real fireman, because you can't be a fishing guide on your days off.
Ooh. Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Come on. Okay.
Wow.
Sorry. Back to Jug Creek Show. Sorry for the interruption, folks.
Jeez.
God. We're going to give him 5 negative points. We're going to put, you know, 5 red
stars.
He's
in the penalty box for 10 minutes.
Yes.
Where's Robert Moore when you need him?
There's the Spanish mackerel, some bluefish, a lot of different sharks, a little black nose, bonnet heads.
Now, if it wasn't
Atlantic
for fireman
nose.
Captains, we would not have the world's smallest performing fishing guide.
This is true.
So.
No, Dave Hoke's got him beat.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
that's
Jim true. Hoke's got him by. He's like probably 2 inches shorter than Robert.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a reason I call him Little Dave Hoke.
Okay. All right, kind of go fun. Back, Jug Creek. Right.
So the Atlantic sharp nose, black nose, bonnet heads, a few pompano, a lot of little trout scattered all over the place. Been a few redfish, some incidental bigger redfish too. As you get over there to Bokelia, fishing in some of those deeper, that real nice deep grass flats there. Been some fairly good fish there, so I mean, I would be moving all over the place throughout there and just giving it a shot, because I mean, it's just pretty productive. The little oyster bar over there north, what is that, north of Patricio, that's had some decent trout on it, some fairly good sheep's head and a few flounder. So I mean, overall, if I was going to go out and try to fish the flats anywhere, I would be concentrating my efforts all around that general area of Patricio, Jug Creek, Bokelia area.
Look for the tower boats with the tunnel holes.
Yeah.
That's yeah, where the fish yeah. are.
A real skinny water there. But then, other than that, I'd probably move over towards Burnt Store.
I've been so weird, I thought, well, I better test my blood sugar, see if, you know, what my blood sugar is doing. Maybe my blood sugar is spiking or something. My last step strip I have with me, and it didn't work.
Nice.
So,
no bueno.
Yeah, I didn't think it was my... It's not my blood sugar.
I don't think so either.
Think it's your brain?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. I was looking to see if I had any more test strips. I was going to test and see why I'm being so weird today.
As you work up north of Burnt Store, heading up towards Pirate Harbor, been a few little redfish, some pompano out on the bar, a lot of little trout scattered all over the place. And then the bonnet heads have been right on the bar and even all the way up as close to the mangroves as possible.
What's with the little trout this year?
What's up with the trout in general?
I know.
You know, it's been a little...
Early this winter,
the trout
was good. Right. I was like, finally, a good year again. You know, because 2 years ago, was it, that we had phenomenal trout fishing?
Yeah.
And then last year was horrible.
Right.
And then this year started out with a bang. I was like, yes, finally.
Yeah.
And...
It was over as quick as it started.
Yeah.
There's, you know, up there on those flats also, or actually right as you go into the canal system going into Pirate Harbor, there's been some pompano, some okay trout, but most of them are on the small side. A few juvenile tarpon have been cooperating as you get them farther up inside Pirate Harbor. So if you guys, you know, anyone that's got a little fly rod or something wants to have a good time, those
Why
little 5 to 10
pounds.
Because it's fun.
Okay.
Because you're picking on everybody, so I figure I'll give up a couple of your secrets to agitate you.
Okay.
It's payback, I guess.
I'll let Robert Moore know.
And then as you work your way from Pirate Harbor, working your way north up towards Alligator Creek, all those flats scattered all over the place. Out on top of the bar has been mainly a lot of little trout, few oddball legal-sized redfish, scattered bonnet heads, a few incidental pompano. but drifting is by far going to be your most productive thing right now. Get out there and use either your trolling motor on low or just let the wind just kind of blow you along and just fan cast everywhere. I'd be drifting with a popping cork out the back, like a DOA deadly combo with an artificial on it, and then I'd be kind of fan casting to some of the sand holes and keeping a real good eye out for some of those fish that are moving around.
It took 4 blood strip tests, but my blood sugar's fine.
Good.
So
it is your brain, then. It's not your blood
sugar.
Yes,
okay. Unfortunately, it is just a generalized weird attitude towards life, I guess.
Robert, you're a shark guy.
It's like you got stabbed by a cactus.
Yeah, I know. I've got 5
holes in my
hand.
Did you get into a fist fight with a porcupine?
Yeah, I got 5 holes in my hand, all the blood coming out, and I finally end up going to my finger. Cause
at least you're not on blood thinners, because then that'd be bad.
Robert, you're a shark guy.
Yes, sir.
Is it me, or is there more bonnet heads this winter?
There's definitely more bonnet heads around this year.
They seem to
and
be everywhere.
And the weird part, they're out in the 20-foot holes, and they're out on the flats.
Yeah, we were trout fishing the other day, drift fishing. Literally triple hooked up on bonnet heads.
Yeah.
You couldn't get through the bonnet heads to get a trout. I mean, which is fine. I'm fine with that.
I'd rather catch the bonnets than the trout anyway.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I was like, where'd all these things come from?
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I don't like the flavor of trout, and I don't like the flavor of the bonnet sharks. Both very edible, and a lot of people do love them. Just to me, you get used to eating black tips or sharp nose, and then you try eating a bonnet. It's got that, I think because their main diet is shrimp.
Shrimp and crabs, yeah.
And I've handled so many shrimp over the years, I cannot eat shrimp.
Right, exactly.
I have literally, I don't know how many millions upon millions of shrimp.
That's not the first thing you order on the menu when you go out to eat?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Your first 5 years you work here, you know, you take shrimp home to eat. You know, you're doing this with shrimp and that with shrimp. And then after about 10 years, yeah, not so much. After 30 years, I could care less about a shrimp.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
It's just anything with that kind of crustacean thing on it now, I'm just saying, okay, I don't need this.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, speaking of sharks, and this is way off the beaten path, but they actually had a megamouth wash up on a shore over in the Philippines. It's the 66th documented one ever.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just very, very, very rare, really, really cool animals.
Wow.
Just something interesting.
Were they real deep water species? Or?
Yeah, they actually stay deep, but they come up close to the shallows at night and feed on plankton. They're a plankton feeder.
Oh, okay.
But they're really weird looking. They got a big old round head, almost kind of like a sperm whale kind of looking head on them. Pretty neat. Just unusual.
Amazing creatures in the world.
You know, they discovered them in like the early 70s, I believe, was the first one ever documented, and it was actually snagged on a Navy's anchor as they were pulling it up.
Wow.
And so basically in 40 years, essentially, they've only seen or documented 66 of them. It's a pretty rare shark.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Or fish.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna say, there's things in this ocean out here that we still don't know about.
Oh, yeah. Plenty.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
Plenty.
So, anyway.
It's just an interesting thing since we're talking about
all
sharks.
All we got left, what is PGI?
PGI and the Alligator Creek Reef and the 20-foot holes.
Okay. What's going on?
The 20-foot holes, if you're out there drifting around, there's a lot of bonnet heads, some Atlantic sharp nose. Been a few silver trout around. They've been concentrated in little pockets, so it's like once you get on them, it's been pretty good, but once you drift through them, it's a desert again. Same with the Alligator Creek Reef. If you get over on the Alligator Creek Reef right now, there's been some decent sheep's head, a few mangrove snappers, some Goliath, a.k.a. Jewfish, a few oddball cobia and Spanish mackerel.
You said the word!
Yeah. Okay.
Did you say Jewfish?
No.
No.
On the radio?
We don't say Jewfish.
Are you kidding?
We say Goliath grouper.
What's that?
That's politically correct.
Oh, that's a Jewfish, right?
And then, basically, you know, the trolling-wise for the Spanish mackerel and the bluefish out there hasn't been super productive. It's mainly been incidental catches as you're out there. Look for some birds. Look for any activity, and you're going to find a few of them around, but it's just very hit or miss, but there is enough out there where don't be surprised when you get into them. As you get into Alligator Creek, few pompano, lots of tiny, tiny trout, still the same parking lot.
I was going to say lots of boats.
Same maze of anchor lines and boats to have to weed yourself around.
And just remember, if you're running, if you're anchored up there in Alligator Creek or any of those places like that, and boats run by you, that's your choice to have boats run by you. Don't get mad at them for doing what the boat is supposed to, run through there.
Right.
And it's just, I mean, that's just the way it goes. If you anchor where boats are running, people are going to run by you. Just wheel up and cast in the whitewash, you know, and it works.
Absolutely.
So, anyway.
A few jacks, a few oddball redfish. Once you get up inside the PGI canals, they're still dredging a little bit in there through ponds and all that, so the water's been stirred up. The one good thing about it has made the sheep's head fishing just a little bit better, because having it stirred up, it's stirring up little tube worms and crabs and shrimp and everything else.
Yep.
So the only thing that seems to be really making better is definitely the sheep's head and the black drum. Everything else has been...
Is that getting annoying yet?
That's really getting annoying. What is it? I feel like I should be
the Old Spice guy.
Yeah.
Horse in slow motion kind of thing.
Yes.
The snook bite's been really, really quiet back in there. The trout, null and void at the mouths. I haven't heard much about them. Colony Point's had some nice jacks. 8 to 10 pounders. I mean, some really nice good size fish. But with this cold weather this past week, it's gotten a little funky overall in PGI. But it's definitely worth going and checking out. As you're coming out of those canals or going into them, definitely troll.
I would not hesitate
to troll.
AX-14 SIG and a Storm, let's see, 08-614. Those would be my two lures that I would have if I was back in there. If I was trying to troll, I wouldn't try trolling through Colony, but once you get down on the straightaway going towards the bridge, there's some nice fish going down that straightaway.
Absolutely.
But remember, if you're in there, you have two people on the boat, two lures. If you have one person on the boat, one lure, and hold the rod, or keep it in the rod holder at your center console. If you're by yourself trolling, do not put the rod in the back of the boat. You can't see it. You can't tell if somebody's coming up on it. You cannot watch the rod effectively when you're by yourself in the boat. So set it in front of you at the center console holder. Just let the line go over the back of the motor. And it works great, and you know what's going on.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, I think that pretty much wraps up everything.
Yep.
For a definitely strange and sporadic edition of Radio Fishing here today. We have Captain Josh Greer. Just to wrap it up, well, we'll come back and do a little segment about some of your hunting stuff. I'd like to talk to you about that. But I think we've kind of covered all the fishing. Anything you can add, Josh? Thank you for the response. Josh is shaking his head on a radio program.
I hope it gets warmer in the week with blowing. That's what I hope.
I love these guys. Anything going on? Shake your head no.
They can see me, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
You look good on radio, by the way, Josh.
I've always been told I have a face for radio.
Yes, you do. So, anything else, Robert?
I'm not going to argue with him on that one.
Okay. Ooh. Ooh. Mean. I got to say that. As the music takes us out, boom ba dee 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 dee, we're done with radio fishing for this thing. And we're going to come back, we're going to have another one up, and we're going to talk about hunting in Florida. Josh is not only a fishing guide, but he's a hunting guide. So we're going to talk about last season's duck hunting and all the rest of this stuff. Keep in mind, March 14th, the greatest tackle event on the planet happens right here at Fish and Frank's, March 14th. It's a buying show. You gotta check it out. It's cool.
Yes, it is.
It's really cool. I gotta tell you, I'm so proud of it. We've done what no one else has ever been able to do. And, man, I'm proud of that. So, anyway, Fish and Frank here, Robert in the chair across from me. And we'll see you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.